With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Special thanks to Visa for sponsoring today's podcast. Visa's dedicated to their vision of being the best way to pay and be paid everywhere. Worldwide, Visa has the capacity to process over 65,000 transaction messages every second. Visa helps you get to where you would like to be by making payments fast and easy, wherever, whenever. The only thing left to figure out is, where would you like to be? Visa, everywhere you want to be.
What an opening night it was. LeBron and the Lakers taking on Kawhi and the Clippers, and the King struck early. The fadeaway over the claw, two of his 18 points on the night. How about new Laker Anthony Davis getting in the mix? The Brow finishing with 25 and 10, but none of it matched what Kawhi did. The reigning finals MVP came out strong, he came out focused, and he came out on fire after missing his first two shots. Kawhi finished with a game-high 30 points, pardon me, to go along with 6 rebounds and 5 assists. Clippers go on to win 112-102. Here is Kawhi Leonard after the game.
You see what they did last year. They was an 8th seed, 7th seed playoff team. These guys fight. They fight hard every single night. And, you know, just because I'm here or Paul's here, we're not going to stop.
What happened in this game last night?
Well, on the Clippers side of things, it was looked a hell of a lot like the Clippers of last year, but just with a league MVP caliber player in Kawhi Leonard, who last night, you tweeted it after the first half scene, it was true after the second half as well, was the best player on the court last night. Mm-hmm. He was sensational. The Clippers bench mob was great, their defense was very good, and Kawhi, particularly in that marvelous second quarter, was hitting difficult shot after difficult shot, mid-range shot after mid-range shot. Didn't really matter what the defense was. That was the Clippers side of things. To me, that is a lot more standard, if you will, than what we saw from the Lakers. Because what you saw from the Lakers, they can say it's one game and it is one game and it is early and they do have to gel, all that's true. What you saw from the Lakers, though, was much more concerning in this regard. The Lakers have one path to being the team they're supposed to be, the team they can be. And that path is having two of the 8 best players in the world, Anthony Davis and LeBron James. And last night, LeBron James did not look like that, did not play like that, and he was careless with the ball, he was inefficient from the field, he was almost non-existent in the second half. And the reality for LA is, if LeBron is not still an all-NBA, top 8 league MVP candidate guy, then they don't have any path to getting to where they want to get to. You don't want to overreact to one game, and you don't want to overreact to Anthony Davis being a little non-existent in the second half, losing to the Clippers even though they didn't have their second best player. But that was a poor showing by the Lakers, most notably LeBron, and an excellent job by the Clippers, see, without their second best player, Paul George.
Yeah, I think we have to be careful as far as the NBA, Jenna. We're seeing player movement like never before. LeBron talked about the new NBA is back. That's with the duos compared to what we've seen as far as people teaming up since he's went to Miami, as far as 3 players, star players being on one team. So 43.6% of all the players in the league, player movement, new players. So LeBron has always gotten off to a slow start. So I can understand what you're saying in last night's game, but every time he's transitioned, and I know this is his second year with the Lakers, but this team is transitioning. To getting this team to where they are, him and AD have not spent a lot of time. To me, AD got physically a little bit tired. He got worn out. Yeah. They tried to run the offense to him at the beginning of the game, and it was exciting. He is a monster, but it's the first game of the season. He's not in conditioning to be able to have that type of workload. So, for me, great win by the Clippers. They played closer to the style for which they played. Their bench contributed 60 points, right?
Yes.
And they averaged 50 last year. They were the only NBA team last season to average 50. So to say that we were surprised, no, we can't say we're surprised. But as good as this Clipper team, without Paul George. That, to me, was the overall surprise.
The 60-19 was the bench scoring in this game. And understand, of course, the Lakers without Kuzma, who's going to be part of, I think, in the beginning, their bench scoring. But Frank Vogel also...
Kuzma and Rondo.
And Rondo. And the reason I bring up Kuzma is because Kuzma, I think, is going to be their leading scorer off the bench. Rondo,
yes,
more of a facilitator off the bench. But this is... where the Clippers, to me, are vulnerable is, as great as they are defensively, they do not have a real rim protector. Montrezl Harrell is a hell of a player, but given his size, he's not a rim protector. You saw the Lakers and Anthony Davis taking advantage of that in the first half and totally unable to take advantage of it in the second half. And again, it is October 23rd. I am not going to overreact to any of this, but... it is critically important for the Lakers that they get off to a good start given the way their schedule falls this year. And when we talk about the West being as jam-packed at the top as we think it's going to be, you're going to have four battles with the Clippers this year. You got one of them when they didn't have Paul George. You were up a dozen points instantly. And then aside from a flurry at the end of the third quarter, the Lakers never really played well from that moment forward.
But the narrative around LeBron James coming into the season opener was he's had his longest offseason to rest. He finally has veterans around him. He doesn't have to spend the offseason even getting these guys to figure out how to play team basketball. You know, and he was in the right mindset because he almost handpicked who he sort of wanted on this team. Are you surprised that you didn't have the showing that you thought you'd get from LeBron?
No, Jenna, because LeBron has gotten off two slow starts. The NBA and trying to understand the players, it's a little more difficult for a player like LeBron because sometimes he's playing the power forward. Sometimes he's the three. Sometimes he's the point guard. So facilitating, when do I try to put my thumbprint on the game, all those things are very, very difficult at the beginning. There are certain games LeBron will just say, I'm going to take over. Typically, he defers to his teammates. I'm going to try to get them involved. But I'm just going to say to the people, I know it's logical. LeBron James, 8 out of the last 9 years, he's played until the middle of June. So he had off June last year and off most of the spring. Oh, he's going to be fresher. You can't prove that. No one can prove that. People just saying, oh, he's going to be fresher. This dude's been in the league 17 years. There's a lot of tread on those tires. And us just automatically thinking, oh, because he was off in the playoffs, he's going to be fresher. To me, I don't subscribe to that theory because I don't believe it. And I know people cannot prove it. It sounds good when you say it. But when you really look at it, old is old.
Well, fresh or not, what is definitely true is the turnovers, and he talked about it after the game, the turnovers most notably in the second half were unacceptable because it wasn't like he's going to the basket and gets a charging foul. That's a turnover. It was being too casual with the basketball, and you showed in the highlight the beautiful fadeaway jumper he hit to open the game. That's the only shot outside of 15 feet he hit the whole night. So his shot was a little off. He was casual with the basketball, and the Clippers, listen, Kawhi's obviously their best player, and when Paul George comes back, he will be their best player. But this team takes on the personality of Patrick Beverley, and it has for a couple years now. Beverley is an absolute menace, and you saw that infectious energy throughout the rest of that Clippers team once again, like you did last year in the playoff series against
scrappy
the Warriors.
And
love Patrick Beverley. He is scrappy. But I got to give credit to Doc Rivers. Every Doc Rivers team plays like Patrick Beverley. Now, it's a perfect match.
Yes.
Patrick Beverley, and he's got the backup. All right? Because you can be as tough as you want to. If you don't have like-minded people, like-minded organizations, so Patrick Beverley probably is feeling more empowered than ever before in his career. And their roles, they don't change that much. That's why Kawhi or Paul George was such a great fit for the Clippers. Their other players just do exactly what you were doing. They got those 60 points off the bench. That's what they've been doing the last couple of years.
Hey guys, Nick Wright here to talk about Lightstream credit card bills. Every month you get them with multiple payments and multiple due dates. Wouldn't it be easier to just have one payment at a lower rate? Well, you can with a credit card consolidation loan from my friends at Lightstream. Get a rate as low as 5.95% APR with autopay, lower than the average credit card interest rate of over 19% APR. Plus, the rate is fixed, so it will never go up over the life of the loan. You can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000 with no fees, and you can even get your money as soon as the day you apply. Just for First Things First listeners, apply now to get a special interest rate discount. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/FTF. That's LightStream.com/FTF. Of course, subject to credit approval, rate includes 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit LightStream.com/FTF for more information.
The New England Patriots, sure, Tom Brady's team is undefeated, and yeah, if he struggles, he can rely on that top-ranked defense, but New England is never satisfied. Yesterday, they traded a second-round pick to the Falcons for wide receiver Mohamed Sanu, and both Brady and Sanu are already meshing, with Sanu tweeting Brady's patented LFG, and Brady responding with, "See you soon," to which Sanu commented, "On my way." It's a three-word minimum, apparently, on Twitter between these two. See, how badly did Brady and the Patriots need this trade?
They needed someone. And I think that once you get the specifics of the personality and the character of the player, Tom should be excited. But this is what Tom does. Tom is the ultimate company man. Not only as far as the salaries that he's allowed them to be able to function, Tom says all the right stuff. Last 2 weeks, hey, what about Gronk? Man, I don't participate in those decisions. Would you like to see Gronk? Have you talked to Gronk? Tom stays in his lane. The reason why is because he doesn't want to have a conflict between his relationship with the owner, his love for playing football, and Bill Belichick being owner, CEO, partially //, I run everything in New England. So Tom, that's what I expect to see from Tom. This is what he's done. Randy Moss reached out to him. All the other receivers, other players reached
told
out.
Antonio he could move into his house.
Oh, come on.
Move into his house.
Yes. I know Giselle hadn't seen his rap sheet before Tom had extended all that, but it's a team sport. I always say this. This is not golf. This is not tennis. You just can't act like a jerk, just treat people any kind of way. Tom needs his teammates. He needs that guy to come in that locker room and have some confidence. And Tom is one of the best leaders all time in any sport. That's why you send off. That's why I'm on my way. Absolutely, I'm on my way. To play with the greatest quarterback ever, he goes from Matty Ice to Tom Brady, a chance to win a Super Bowl. Like, what else would a wide receiver want?
I agree with 1,000% about Tom Brady, that the team stuff and leadership, I echo all of it. To your question directly about how much do the Patriots need him, man, we thought the Patriots were going to have issues at the wide receiver core when Josh Gordon was in the fold. I now wonder how much in the fold he is, how serious that injury is, and when he comes back from the injury, how much of the Josh Gordon we faintly remember is still there after missing so much time.
I can tell you New England does not have confidence in him, because there's no way you spend a first-round pick
on N'Keal Harry.
First time Belichick has done that since his Cleveland days, yep, on a wide receiver, and the wide receiver has struggled during training camp. You put him on injured reserve. You know he's not going to be available for the first 8 to 10 weeks of the season. And then you trade another second round pick?
Right.
I mean, Belichick loved them draft picks more than his kids now. And he's got a couple kids that work on the staff. So to me, that speaks to me. A lot of times we have to follow the tea leaves.
Sure.
They will tell you what the Patriots are saying. And when you trade a second-round pick for a backup receiver, the third-best receiver on the Atlanta Falcons, they're letting you know we have wide receivers.
1,000%. And they, you also know it by watching it. Listen, Edelman is once again having an excellent season. Edelman has almost 500 yards. He's on pace for an 1,100-yard season.
If he plays any more game with Joe Tessitore, he's going to be in the Hall of Fame the way Joe Tessitore.
Man,
good Lord.
People, man, the announcers love them some Julian Edelman. That's a separate story. So, listen, but a lot of that has been, yes, because Edelman's playing well, but also because, I mean, pre-snap, I'm sure Brady's looking around. He's like, all right, so Gunnar Olszewski's out here. Can I trust him to be where he needs to be? Jacoby Myers, we've seen him make some sensational plays, but can I trust him to where he needs to be? All right, I know Edelman's going to be where he needs to be. That is something I don't think he's going to have instantly with Mohamed Sanu, but he is going to have it at some point with Mohamed Sanu, because as you said yesterday, he is a professional receiver. He knows where he needs to be and can run the whole route tree. And for the Patriots, I'm not going to be moved off this point until there is evidence to show it. Their offense right now is limited. Their offense right now is feasting off of short fields, 22 turnovers forced by the opposition, 5 touchdowns scored by defense and special teams, inflating their overall
but
points.
But this proves you're right, how much they needed.
Well, I think it adds to the evidence that that Belichick, after spending a first-round pick on a wide receiver, went out and spent a second-round pick on a wide receiver.
General, that last Monday night game was embarrassing. Tom Brady, the greatest football player we ever have, we're celebrating 100th season of NFL. Those receivers are garbage. Now, God bless them. They in the league. But they shouldn't be playing with Tom Brady. And that was the embarrassment. Yeah, God bless them. I mean, they in the league. Yeah. They one of the 1,600 best players in the world. Yeah. But, hey, listen now. There's all kinds of manure in the ocean now. You got some deeper than the other.
Like, God bless them. They're in the league.
He shouldn't have to be subjected to playing with guys like that.
And you can't do anything about the offensive line. That's no one's fault. They just suffered injuries. It's not like they said, hey, Brady, we got you no offensive lineman this year.
Isaiah Wynn is going to be injured forever.
They spent a first-round pick on Isaiah Wynn. He's been hurt twice. They had an excellent center. He got hurt for the first time. That just happens. The wide receiver situation, they have tried to address it. Now, they got him a good wide receiver once upon a time recently, Brandon Cooks. They used him for a year and then said, nope, we bought at this price. We can sell at this price, even if we maybe should hold it. This is going to be an issue for them. And we have talked all about the offenses they faced as far as inflating their defensive stats. It should be noted, they haven't faced no great defenses all year long except for Buffalo. Mm-hmm. And Buffalo was right there with them. Buffalo, it was a one-score game that they won because of a blocked punt for a touchdown. The Patriots are obviously the best coach team in football. They obviously have the best defense in football. And they obviously have the greatest quarterback of all time on the roster. No one disputes all that. But their passing game is going to be limited unless the wide receiver room gets substantially better. And it got a little bit better 24 hours
ago. Well, there's a difference between a little bit better and substantially better. Did it get a little bit better or did it get substantially better with Mohamed Sanu?
Substantially better. Mohamed Sanu, these guys can't wear Mohamed Sanu's shoes. He can play every position. He can play the X, the boundary receiver. He can play the Z to the tight end side. He can play in the slot. He's a great teammate. He's a consistent route runner. He always gets his depth. He's been great as a role player since he's been in the league when he was second fiddle to A.J. Green, Julio Jones. And you know what they did for him? He was so good in Atlanta, they drafted another receiver from Alabama to move him to number 3. You never heard a peep about him. He's great on and off the field. Tom Brady should be excited because he is so much better than what they have.
Here, first things first, we're joined by Super Bowl champ Greg Jennings. Hey, Greg.
What's up, man?
Great to see you this morning.
Great to be seen.
We are talking MVP odds in the NFL. According to Fox Bet, Greg, Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson are now tied as favorites at plus 275 to take home the MVP honors. Both quarterbacks have carried their teams to great respective starts this season. That means odd man out becomes Patty Mahomes. Who's better bet to win MVP, Rodgers or Wilson?
If I'm betting, I'm going with Aaron Rodgers. I like what he's been able to do. Team has a better record, and he's doing it with not his number one guy. Mm-hmm. They've established a running game. He's entering into this season with a new head coach, new system. All these odds were kind of against whether or not it would work, or I shouldn't even say the odds. Myself and others probably questioned or had questions about whether the relationship would work, and it's working phenomenally. Mm-hmm. And it's all predicated on his demeanor, his posture towards everything. And it's been unbelievable. His stats that he's putting up, the two interceptions that he has on the stat sheet, mm-hmm. they really don't even belong to him. He had the one against Philly that got tipped at the goal line.
Yep.
He had the one against Detroit that got dropped and then intercepted.
At the goal line.
At the goal
line.
Hit
the dude in the face, man.
Yeah, so, I mean, he would be interceptless if it weren't for those two. And the way he's throwing the football right now, vintage Aaron Rodgers, he's not, what's been most impressive is he's not doing it in a manner of, I have to be everything for my team.
Ad-libbing.
Yes.
Throwing on schedule.
He's doing everything that Matt LaFleur could ever ask for him to do and more. I love what the defense is doing. They got to get better for him and not giving up the big plays, but I like Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, both of these quarterbacks, it's hard to be able to how am I going down the stretch? Because it's based on how the team plays.
Yes.
I believe Aaron's going to have more help. And with more help, he's got a more established running game. Even though Seattle has a more running culture. Aaron has the more talented running backs. I believe Aaron Jones can be a special player, continuing to use him in the passing game also. Devontae Adams is better than any receiver that Seattle and Russell Wilson will have. So I believe the defense in Green Bay is a lot better than the defense in Seattle. And those types of things right there lead to having the MVP-type season. The slow start by Aaron Rodgers. Offense being expanded through weeks 3 through week 7. You could start to see. Oh, wow. And they're doing that without their best receiver. So for me, Aaron Rodgers is likely to get better. And Seattle is likely, and Russ is likely to come back to the pack.
And you made a point when we were discussing this in the past, and I think it's a good one to remind the audience, that in the NFL MVP, at least in recent history, it's been part and parcel, not just with the quarterback position, but with your team having an extraordinary record.
Yes.
If you look, Pat Mahomes was the one seed. You had, when Matt Ryan won it, they had a bye. When Cam won it, they had a bye.
Yes.
When Brady won it, most recently, they, of course, had a bye. So if you think the Packers are likely to go 13-3 and Seattle's likely to be a wild card team, if they, you know, assuming they get in, that speaks in Aaron Rodgers' favor. Now, I should say this in the beginning. Before the year, I picked Aaron Rodgers to win the MVP. And I still think right now this them being dead even is ridiculous. This is, up until last week, Rodgers was not in the conversation at all. He had 8 touchdowns to those 2 interceptions, even though those 2 were not his fault, agreed. Mm-hmm. Russell Wilson had 14 touchdowns to no interceptions. Up to last week, Russell Wilson, given the injury to Patrick Mahomes, was the runaway leader in this category. Now, Russell has his worst game of the year, his first bad game since last December. Aaron Rodgers has one of the best games of his career, and they're dead even. One week can erase the margin that Russ had built up over the first 6 weeks. I think that's unfair. I think Russell has been the best player in the league up to this point this season. I think he still should be, if we were awarding it right now, he would be the league MVP. Can he sustain it? That's where the odds come in, and I understand that part of it.
Yeah, maybe we should stay away from the MVP till midseason.
Well, we're at midseason, aren't we?
Well, I mean, but we had been hyping up for 4 weeks.
Okay.
Because we had Patty Mahomes running away with it.
Right.
Russell came into the race. Patty Mahomes faded a little bit. Aaron Rodgers came from nowhere. So that's a lot happening in 7 weeks.
Could there be some weight given to the fact that Aaron Rodgers and the Packers have played much heftier opponents than Seattle has so far, that the defenses that Aaron Rodgers has gone against have been far superior than the one that you've seen that Russell Wilson has seen? Does that factor in at all when it comes to who we're discussing for MVP?
It definitely will factor in, but I think more than anything, it's really going to be about who we see and who shines in those moments. What I mean by that is, in primetime games, Aaron Rodgers has looked great and his team has won.
Yeah.
And so you bring up one of the greatest points I think I will hear when it comes to MVP, the help that he has going down the stretch. It's not always about the talent and the play of the individual, because obviously if you're in the MVP conversation, you're a great player.
Yes.
And so with your help that you can get and acquire from your roster, the guys that are on the field with you, that enhances your opportunity.
Absolutely.
And your chances, to your point, going to the schedule as a team or the record as an overall team, to better your chances and opportunity of winning an award like that.
And that's why Rodgers, and that's why Russell Wilson, have a better chance than Patty Mahomes. It ain't based on the schedule, what they think they're going to do. Patty Mahomes, now people know Tyreek Hill is a star. Travis Kelce is a star.
Yes.
Sammy Watkins is amazing when he's healthy. So look at the difference in what Russell's throwing to and what Aaron had to deal with in the first part of the season. So I think those things, too, separate some of the people when they will vote for this.
Well, and that, to me, is another thing that is a feather in Russell Wilson's cap. Is we have talked about how the deck's been stacked against Aaron the last couple weeks because he hasn't had Devontae Adams. Well, Russell Wilson's been without his number one receiver all year long. His number one receiver was Doug Baldwin. He retired. Now, he has turned Tyler Lockett into, they seem to have some mind meld connection, where they are now going on a 23-game streak of, when Russell targets Lockett, he has a perfect quarterback rating. No other quarterback wide receiver combo has a quarterback rating better than 130. Theirs is still a 158.3. But that is, Tyler Lockett is not a true number one receiver on any other team.
No, they don't have a number one.
Right, and so he's almost been pressed into service as the number one receiver. Russell lost his tight end, who Will Dissly was having a nice year, to a torn Achilles a couple years ago. So I understand we give Aaron credit, and rightfully so, for doing it with a kind of, wait, who's that wide receiving core?
Right.
That has been the story for Russell all year long.
it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
LeBron James, in his 17th season, the King finished with 18 points, 9 boards, 8 assists. His new teammate, Anthony Davis, showed up in Game 1. The Brow had 25 points, 10 boards, 5 assists. But the Lakers falling to Kawhi and the Clippers, 112-102. Here is AD on playing with LeBron.
It's weird. We're both aggressive. And so sometimes we kind of like miss each other. You know, I missed him a couple times, and he missed me. So just trying to figure it out, you know, knowing that we're going to draw a double team, knowing where everyone else is. When you got two guys who willing passers, you know, it makes it a little bit easier. But, you know, we're still learning. You know, like I say, this is game one, you know, of many. So we're going to look at the film and see where we can get better at, and then work on it in practice and get ready for our next game.
I think we all just assumed, at least I did, Anthony Davis is an incredible player. LeBron James is an incredible player. It'll take them less than a fraction of a nanosecond to put two great players together and vibe and make it work. But how long do you think it'll take for them to really gel and make it work as a team, Nick?
Well, I mean, I think for them to reach their full potential, it's going to take a few months. It's going to take 40, 50 games together. For them to actually gel, I think they were gelling somewhat last night. I don't think last night was a function of these two guys not knowing how to play with each other. LeBron was careless with the basketball. Anthony Davis, to Chris's point, seemed to run out of steam a little bit. One of the reasons Anthony Davis doesn't want to play center is because of the exhaustion it is banging bodies every time.
I told you that.
Right.
He ain't built for that.
And it's not what he wants to do. And in the first half, because of how small the Clippers lineup was, even if he had another big man on the court, he was having center-like possessions with a bunch of post-ups, and you saw it wear on him to where he wasn't as effective late in the game. I don't think this was a LeBron and Anthony Davis failing to gel issue. LeBron didn't play well, independent of his teammates. But this was a bit of this Lakers team not yet fully gelling. You've got a totally new roster. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and Kyle Kuzma are the only players who've been on this team longer than LeBron. LeBron got there 15 months ago. And so you have, just from last year, the only guys who were on the roster last year are JaVale, KCP, and LeBron as far as who played, because Kuzma obviously didn't play. So there's a lot of rotations that you're not used to. There's a lot of, who's cutting where that you're not used to. And I think that led to some of the turnovers. And I just think it was a sloppy, inefficient game from LeBron, which leads us to, are LeBron and Anthony Davis not gelling already? To me, that wasn't the story of what happened last night.
Right. When we went into the season, when you analyze who the Clippers are, who the Lakers are, for what we know, on paper, we know the Clippers and their bench mob is going to be an issue for any team in the league. They have been a problem. Lou Williams, sixth man of the year, 3 times. Yeah. Last year, back-to-back. So we know that any bench is going to have a problem. We thought that their bench was better than the Lakers, and that might give them an edge. If you thought that the superstars were even, most people think that LeBron and AD do have the edge. This was 60-19. We're talking about AD, we're talking about LeBron, but when you have that much of a difference in bench scoring compared to your starters, like, you're going to have an issue. Also, Dwight Howard, is he going to be able to score enough as a backup front court player? I believe they have enough shooting in the backcourt. I believe their guards and stuff, Rondo was out of this game, not from a scoring, but from a continuity standpoint. So those are the things that I would question. AD, he can't play the center extended minutes, because when you play a post position, they allow you to get away with a lot of unnecessary physicality that they don't allow the perimeter players to get away with. That's one of the reasons, and that's what AD has communicated, why he doesn't like playing the five. So regardless of what people think their basketball philosophy is, Giannis doesn't play five for a reason. I mean, he's tall enough, but he doesn't have the body for it. This is what's best for AD. It's best for him to play the power forward as much as possible because it makes him fresher at the end of the games. And when they needed someone to close out the game, LeBron was not fresh and AD was not fresh.
So what is it then, Nick, if it's going to take 40, 50 games for the whole team actually to gel? What is it going to take for them to at least get out to the strong start, which you say they absolutely need to do?
Oh, I think not playing the Clippers will help. I think LeBron not having five turnovers and what was he, 7 of 19 from the field?
Made one shot beyond 15-15.
And it was very early in the game, a very difficult contested baseline fadeaway that I think we've shown in the highlights. To me, this Lakers team is not that complicated until we get to a 7-game series against a really good opponent where there's a lot of machinations. Who do you play? Who do you not? Who's in the rotation? They need to be able to play 48 minutes a night where they have the best player on the court. They had last night almost 0 minutes with the best player on the court, or I guess only 16 minutes, if you will, because when Kawhi was out there, he was the best guy throughout. Even when the second quarter, which was Anthony Davis's best quarter, Kawhi was superb in that quarter. LeBron was not even an all-star caliber player last night. I am not concerned that is going to continue. If it does continue, then they're no championship-level team. So that's why I'm not trying to reject your question at all. I just don't think that was the issue. I don't think the issue was, it's not like they do a high pick and roll, LeBron thinks Anthony Davis is rolling to the rim and he throws a lob to nobody. It's that they were sloppy with the basketball, and LeBron couldn't hit an outside shot, and Anthony Davis wore down, I think probably because first game of the season, against a team that is guarding you 94 feet, against an exhausting team to play against. That, to me, was the story of last night, plus the bench scoring. You get outscored by 40 on the bench. Your two superstars better play one hell of a game. Anthony Davis played a B-level game. LeBron played a C-minus D-plus level game. You're going to lose when Kawhi goes 36-5 and the bench gives you 60 for the Clippers.
Yeah, and I do believe that the Clippers, not only do they have a bench edge, they have a coaching bench edge. When you talk about Doc Rivers and also Sam Cassell and the guy that the Lakers didn't want to give a long-term contract, Ty Lue. That's who their bench is. That's championship pedigree there. And I would take that bench over Frank Vogel, Jason Kidd, and Lionel Hollins. All right? So you talk about a number of advantages being the bench scoring and overall coaching the Clippers have.
And one of the reasons, listen, the Clippers are going to have a bench edge on almost every team, but one of the reasons last night it was such a big discrepancy is, and I, listen, I'm not, I'm agnostic on Frank Vogel. We'll see how he does, but I'm not going to kill him for this. He is figuring out in real time what his bench rotation is going to be.
Yeah, of course.
How much can Quinn Cook play? When Caruso's fully healthy, should he play above Quinn Cook? Jared Dudley, for as good of a leader as he is, like Jared Dudley was on the court for 13 minutes, they outscored by 20 points in those 13 minutes. Like Jared Dudley, is he just a locker room guy or can he help?
I don't know what kind of workout program he was doing this offseason.
And so, the same one he's been doing his whole career, it was here. And so, like, these are things that are going to have to be figured out in real time. I do think the LeBron Anthony Davis thing is going to be fine. The other pieces are going to have to fall into place.
The other luxury gem of the Clippers, they don't have that 40 games because that bench mob, they've been playing together.
Yes.
Montrezl Harrell and they play in the summer league together. So that chemistry in there and that will pay huge dividends to them getting out to a great start.
Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Remember, leave us a review and tell us what you think. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and catch us on FS1 Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern. For Chris Carter and Nick Wright, I'm Jenna Wolf. So long, everybody.